ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिश्शृणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ॐ ओ गॉड्स, मे वी ऑलवेज हियर विथ अवर इयर्स व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। ओ वर्शिपफुल वंस, मे वी विथ अवर आईज ऑलवेज सी व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। मे वी लिव अवर अलॉटेड लाइफ हेल एंड हार्टी, offering our praises unto Thee. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on all of us. May the all-nourishing portion be propitious to all of us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well-disposed towards all of us. May Brihaspati ensure all our welfare. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto. By the grace of God, we have completed the third prashna of the Prashnopanishad, third chapter of the Prashnopanishad. Before we proceed to the fourth question, let us recollect what Ashvalayana or Kaushalya had really asked. He asked Guru Pippalada six questions. Kutaha eshaha prano jayate, कथम आयाति अस्मिन् शरीरे, आत्मानं वा प्रविभज्य कथम प्रतिष्ठते, केनोत्क्रमते, कथम बाह्यम अविदत्ते, कथम अध्यात्मम इति। सिक्स क्वेश्चंस। फ्रॉम वेयर इज दिस प्राण बॉर्न? द आंसर इज फ्रॉम द आत्मन। एवरीथिंग हैज कम आउट ऑफ द आत्मन। द होल यूनिवर्स हैज कम फ्रॉम आत्मन। That's what Swami Vivekananda very tersely stated. Each soul is potentially divine. Second question. How does this prana come into each separate body in different ways? The answer is prarabdha karma. As I mentioned earlier, only conscious, sane human beings alone have prarabdha karma. Any karma done by non-humans, by children, by madcaps, by unconscious people, somnambulists, that is not considered as karma, because karma requires a conscious resolution. I want this result. I am going to do this with deliberateness, planning, scheming. If one does, then only the prarabdha karma will work. And every one of our prarabdha karma is totally different. That's why every one of our bodies is totally separate. No two even hairs, leaves or snowdrops are alike. The answer to the second question is, it is through our prarabdha karma, prana enters, and when it enters, when it wants to depart, it is determined. That is called Ayukala, manufacturing date and expiry date. Third question. How does this prana function in the body? The answer is, it divides itself into five parts. Prana, Vyana, Apana, Udana, Samana. Why five parts? Because there are fivefold activities, functions, one to digest, another to carry and distribute equally, one, to throw out what is not desirable, including at the time of death, it helps the prana to go out, and some to work out, to throw out of the lower organs out, etc. Fivefold distribution, fivefold activities. So the same one prana is known by five different names according to the five activities it does. We have discussed it in quite details. So how does it depart? One part of the prana called udana. Its function is to help the jivatma according to its karma done in this life. If he has accumulated much of merit, punya, he will be taken to the highest world, punya loka. And if it is, he has done lot of papa, evil actions, he will be taken, and it is the udana aspect of prana that helps the person to go either to higher loka or to naraka loka. But if it is punya and papa are just normal, then the soul, jivatma, will be given an opportunity again to come back into this world and assume probably a human body and continue his evolutionary progress. So that is the answer. Then how does it support the entire universe? So far we have been talking about that this prana divides itself and supports each individual personality, body, mind. Behind the mind also, prana is there. Otherwise, mind cannot function. What are the functions of the mind? That is, manaha, chittaha, buddhi, ahankara. To cogitate, what is this? Is it that? Is it this? And to remember whatever experiences we had throughout the life. That is the function of the chitta. To cogitate is the function called manaha. And to decide this is right and this is absolute correct knowledge and behave accordingly, giving command, that is the function of the buddhi called nischayatmika buddhi. And the ahankara, I am the cogitator, I am the rememberer, and I am also the decider. Ahankara, ahankriya. So these are the functions of the mind. Four functions of the mind. And these functions are also not possible if prana is not supporting. Finally, again, who supports the internal world? That is mind, that is the prana only. Six questions have been answered. And finally, the third chapter ends with, he who knows, what does he become? He becomes immortal. Amrutatvam ashnute, amrutatvam ashnute, twice repeated to indicate the end of the chapter. And this is the essence of what we discussed. So what is the even still more summary? The I come, the entire world comes from the Atman. And the entire world, including me, is supported by the Atman and by the law of the effect going back to the cause. In the end, every one of us, the entire universe, in its own time, goes back to the Atman. That's what Sri Ramakrishna said. Nobody will go without food. Even at midnight, the lazy fellows will get food. That is to indicate this profound truth. There is nobody who will go to hell ultimately. Going to heaven and hell are temporary acts. Everyone will attain liberation. That's what Swami Vivekananda, which I prefer to call, initiated the thousands of people ఈఆర్ దే చిల్డ్రన్ ఆఫ్ ఇమ్మోర్టల్ బ్లెస్ అమృతస్య పుత్రాః. సో అంటిల్ నౌ ది చాప్టర్స్ ఇన్ ది ప్రశ్న ఉపనిషత్ 1, 2, 3 ఆర్ డిస్కసింగ్ అబౌట్ ది ప్రిపరేషన్స్ ది ఫస్ట్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది వేద హూజ్ ఫంక్షన్ ఈస్ టు ప్యూరిఫై అవర్ మైండ్ అండ్ టు బ్రింగ్ అబౌట్ సెల్ఫ్ కంట్రోల్ బోత్ బాడీ అండ్ మైండ్ అండ్ ప్రిపేర్ అస్ టు అండర్టేక్ ది సెకండ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది జర్నీ విచ్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ జ్ఞానకాండ. సో నౌ ది 4th, 5th, and 6th ఆర్ ఎంటరింగ్ ఇన్ టు ది జ్ఞానకాండ. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ది ఎసెన్స్. 4th చాప్టర్ ఈజ్ ఎస్పెషల్లీ డీలింగ్ విత్ వాట్ వి కాల్ ది ఎనాలిసిస్ ఆఫ్ ది 3 స్టేట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్. రిమెంబర్ దోస్ హు ఆర్ అటెండింగ్ మాండూక్య ఉపకారిక ఉపనిషత్ దట్ మాండూక్య ఉపనిషత్ స్పెషల్లీ ఈ స్పెషలైజ్డ్ ఇన్ ఎనలైజింగ్ ది 3 ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీ ప్రాణి, ఎవ్రీ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్, స్పెషల్లీ ఆఫ్ కోర్స్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్. వాట్ ఆర్ ది స్టేట్స్? వేకింగ్, డ్రీమ్ అండ్ డ్రీమ్లెస్ ఆర్ డీప్ స్లీప్. వాట్ ఈస్ ది పర్పస్? ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ విచ్ ఎవర్ స్టేట్ వీఆర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్ దట్ అలోన్ ఈజ్ రియల్ ఫర్ ది ఎక్స్పీరియన్సర్. వై డిడ్ ఐ సే దట్? బికాస్ సపోజ్ దెర్ ఆర్ 2 పీపుల్ ఇన్ ది సేమ్ హౌస్, వన్ ఈజ్ అవేక్ అండ్ వన్ ఈజ్ డ్రీమింగ్. సో ది వన్ హూ ఈజ్ ఇన్ ది వేకింగ్ స్టేట్, వేకింగ్ స్టేట్ వేకింగ్ వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ ది రియాలిటీ. ఎవరి అదర్ వరల్డ్ ది డ్రీమ్ వరల్డ్ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ ది స్లీపింగ్ వరల్డ్ బోత్ ఆర్ అన్రియల్. అండ్ ఫర్ ది వన్ హూ ఈజ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్ ది డ్రీమ్, ది వేకింగ్ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ ది స్లీప్ స్టేట్ దే ఆర్ అన్రియల్. డ్రీమ్ స్టేట్ అలోన్ ఈజ్ రియల్. బట్ సపోజ్ అదర్ పర్సన్ ఆర్ ది సేమ్ పర్సన్ ఆఫ్టర్ డ్రీమింగ్ హీ గోస్ ఇన్ టు డీప్ స్లీప్ స్టేట్ కాల్డ్ సుషుప్తి, దెన్ దట్ అలోన్ ఈజ్ ది రియల్ అండ్ దేర్ ఆల్సో హీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ ప్యూర్ అన్అడల్టరేటెడ్ అన్కంటామినేటెడ్ అన్లిమిటెడ్ బ్లిస్ బియాండ్ గోయింగ్ ది మైండ్, విచ్ మీన్స్ బియాండ్ గోయింగ్ time, space and causation. So this analysis is called Adhyaropa Apavada. That is, first you make analysis and then slowly say you are limited by these 3 identifications. I am the waker, I am the dreamer and I am the sleeper. But you are somebody who is the waker, who is also the dreamer. Sorry, let me put it this way. You are the waker, but you are not limited only by the waking state. You are the dreamer. You are not limited only by the dream state. You are not the deep sleeper. You are not limited only by the deep sleep state. You go through all these things, and yet you are much more unlimited, infinite, pure consciousness. When pure consciousness is limited by time, space and causation, it is one of these 3 states. But Vedanta doesn't say these are unreal. Vedanta says they're limited. What is our problem? We think every limited state when we are experiencing is the real state. And we are that. No, you are much beyond, and you divided yourself into the experiencer and the experienced, and that is the normal phenomena in all the 3 states. It is a common phenomena, subject and object. That division is not there at all. You are that infinite called Atman, Brahman, Turiyam, etc. That is the purpose of is Adhyaropa Apavada. First, accept the 3 states as real, then negate them saying whatever is dependent, whatever is changing, whatever is temporary, whatever is unreal, that is not the whole truth. And for that purpose, in this Prashna Upanishad, the 4th chapter specially deals with with the analysis. So going back, it was said that prana took its origin from the Atman. Where from? From the last chapter, third chapter. And now, one method of understanding the real nature of prana is by the analysis of the three states, waking, dream, and deep sleep. And even beyond that, it's a method frequently employed in the Upanishad, especially, as I said, Mandukya Upanishad. So, in this fourth chapter, the special subject matter is analysis of these three states. So, there are five questions. In the third chapter, there are six questions. One disciple, six questions. In this fourth chapter, one disciple, Sauryayini, and five questions. One, in this body, what are the organs which sleep, that is, which cease to do their respective functions? Two, what are the organs which do not sleep, that is, which ceaselessly discharge their respective functions throughout the three states? Third, by what agent and with what instruments are dreams caused? How are dreams caused? That is, analysis of the Swapnavastha or dream state. Then, fourth, whose is the bliss which supervenes on the quiescence of the states of waking and dreaming? This is the question related to the Sushupti state, deep sleep state. So, who is it that really enjoys this state? What is the nature of this state? Anandamaya, state of bliss. So, who enjoys? That is the question. And how does this bliss come? Because sukha and dukkha, happiness and unhappiness, good and evil, life and death, darkness and light, everything are visible, experienceable in both the waking and dream, but not in the deep sleep state. That is why there is no second, and that is why there is no fear. And that is why even if a tiger is sleeping by my side, about to pounce and finish me, I am blissfully enjoying my state. And supposing, good fun, if the tiger happens or somebody comes with a gun and shoots me, actually I don't experience much pain, because that apprehension, somebody has come, he is going to kill me, that awareness is not there at all. So only that much time when the bullet penetrates my skull and causes a terrible shock, only that much time I suffer. But to think and to apprehend, to imagine and quake from fear, all that unnecessary suffering is not there at all. So, who is it that enjoys the bliss? In other words, who is it that enjoys the waking state? Who is it that experiences the dream state? Who is it that experiences this particular state called deep sleep, which is consisting of deep bliss, with a continuous, uninterrupted bliss from the waking point of view, several hours? And then finally, what is the place of merger, the fifth question, for the organs in the state of dreamless sleep, and by implication, in the final state of dissolution or pralaya? In other words, who is the root cause of all these three states? The answer should be our, what we call, Brahman. That is the purpose of the analysis, finally to say, you are a waker, but not only a waker. You dream, but you are not only a dreamer. You are a sleeper, but you are not only a sleeper. You are the waker, you are the dreamer, you are the sleeper, but these are limited roles. All by yourself, you are the pure consciousness. It is to lead us to this answer, this Prashna Upanishad is leading us. Let us remember one point. However many number of Upanishads we might talk about, take classes, the same methodology. What is it? Each soul is potentially divine. The goal of life is to manifest that divinity, and there are proven ways, roadways, means to travel for each one of us, and infinite paths are there, infinite ways are there to reach the infinite. Because if it is infinite, the pathways must also be infinite. And Brahman, God, is infinite. So these are the answers to the five questions, follow in the order in which we have discussed earlier. For that, Upanishads always employ the methodology of examples, analogies, etc. Here, an analogy is given. Just as the rays of the sun are drawn into the orb at the time of setting, even so at the time of sleep, the organs are all drawn into the mind on which they depend for their functioning. When they are so indrawn, the man, each one of us, neither sees nor hears, neither smells nor tastes, neither touches nor speaks. We then say that the man is asleep. What are we talking about? In this analogy of the sun, just as when the early morning, as soon as the sun rises, the rays of the sun spread out everywhere. But when the same sun is setting, slowly the light of the rays, as if they are withdrawn, because really speaking, the sun and its rays are not separate. But just as at the setting sun, slowly the light becomes dim, dimmer, dimmest, like the dimmer switch. So finally, there will be darkness. Darkness means what? That all the light is completely withdrawn into the sun. What is this analogy for? The rising sun is to compare our waking state, our dream state, when the prana, which is compared to Aditya, and this prana functioning itself in five different ways, makes us experience, each one of us experience, the waking state, the dream state. But just like the sun, when it sets, this is the comparable to deep sleep. What happens? Prana is functioning, but it withdraws the all its functioning energy from the body, from the mind. Therefore, for a short time, they do not function at all. And that is what we are talking here. So, when the rays of the sun are withdrawn, that is to say, when the prana functioning keeps the body alive, but doesn't allow in deep sleep. Otherwise, what happens? If the prana also is withdrawn, then we sleep only for the first time. After that, we don't wake up. But the prana goes on ceaselessly during the waking, during the dream, during the deep sleep. Everything may go to sleep, but pranas never cease to function. So, though man is asleep, the five pranas are awake, doing their respective functions. These functions of the pranas, vital layers, and of the mind are likened here in this chapter to the details of the Agnihotra sacrifice. A marvelous upasana is given to us in this fourth chapter. What is it? All the pranas. It is the prana, Chaitanya, manifesting in the form of the Mukhya Prana, and Mukhya Prana dividing itself as it were into five parts are functioning, and because of that functioning, the body-mind function. If there is no prana, a person is dead. he cannot experience either waking state or dream state, much less the deep sleep state. What is the point? The point is, whole life, prana is compared to a sacrifice. Man is compared to who is performing sacrifice day and night. That is called yajna. He is doing yajna from birth to death. And what is a yajna? Yajna is a conscious worship of the divine. And there is one shloka in the Shivaparadha Kshamapana Stotra, I think. So says, if I am walking, that is visiting holy places. If my hands are moving, for any reason, it is as if I am doing aratrikam to you. And if I am breathing, I am practicing pranayama. And if I am eating and digesting, that is the act of offering to the Divine Lord, naivedya. Yadyat karomi tattat pushambho tava aradhanam. It is worship to you, O Shambhu, because here Shambhu means Shiva. Here Shiva means Paramatma. Here Paramatma means who is manifesting in the form of the pranas. That is to say, the whole universe in which we are all there, we out of ignorance think, I am moving, I am walking, I am using my hands, I am seeing, I am hearing, etc. Really speaking, without prana it is impossible, and prana is performing a sacrifice, puja. And puja of whom? Puja of the Divine Lord. Who is the deity worshipped? Brahman. And who is the worshipper? Brahman. What are the offerings? That is also Brahman. Whether it is flowers, whether it is incense, whether it is fruits, whether it is light, whether it is fanning, all these are nothing but panchabhutas are doing in its own way. Marvelous effect. I reminded you in our past classes, when Sri Ramakrishna was sitting and eating, a devotee doubted whether this person is very weak. He has weakness for lot of good food because there are so many dishes. And Sri Ramakrishna smiled because nothing can be hidden from him. So this lady devotee was thinking, and at the same time, she doesn't dare to openly ask Sri Ramakrishna, why are you doing this? This is the hypocrisy practiced even by advanced devotees. Sri Ramakrishna knew this devotee was very sincere. Her doubt should be removed. So he took a little bit of that food in his hand, and then he was about brought it, that hand with the food, to the mouth, and suddenly a big snake came, snatched as it were, and took it inside. And Sri Ramakrishna was smiling, looking at the devotee. The lady at first got frightened, seeing that snake coming out. And we also should get frightened. If you see from anybody's mouth a huge snake coming out, and then you will be more frightened. What is this man? Is he a devil? Is he some magic magician? How come that? Is he snake himself? Is he going to bite me? Is a poisonous snake? All these doubts will come, and if we have any such experience, fortunately, God doesn't give us all those experiences out of His infinite grace. But to this devotee, she understood. What did she understand? Sri Ramakrishna doesn't eat. He is offering food to the Divine Mother, who is in the form of Kula Kundalini, and that Kula Kundalini assumed the form of a snake. And it has come, and it has taken what Sri Ramakrishna is offering. Remember, whatever activity Sri Ramakrishna does is nothing but worship of the Divine Mother. For that, I will remind you another incident. Sri Ramakrishna became the priest in the Kali temple. He was initiated by one Kenaram Bhattacharya. And when he got initiated, he gave a big shout and became unconscious. Kenaram Bhattacharya was a great sadhaka, tantric sadhaka. He understood that today I am blessed because I have never seen such an advanced sadhaka. I myself have not experienced, but here is a sadhaka. As soon as he heard the mantra, he entered into the deep state of mantra. He became identified with the mantra, mantra consciousness, which is a marvelous subject because mantra is belonging to the a special branch of philosophy called Sphotavada. It is all about Shabda Brahma, how that Shabda Brahma originates, creates this entire universe, and there are certain divisions. Perhaps when the time comes, I will explain to you. Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama, Vaikari is one model. Or Para, Bindu, and Bindu, and Nada, and Kala is a tantric methodology, tantric model. So different models are there, but the essence is the same. And in the life of Sri Ramakrishna, we see also. But what happened? Sri Ramakrishna received the mantra initiation, without which he could not have really be allowed to perform worship of the Shakti in the form of Mother Kali. So he went back and every day used to gather flowers, pluck flowers, make beautiful garlands. Sri Ramakrishna was an artist and he used to prepare various fragrant flowers, beautiful flowers, and all for the sake of the Mother Kali. And then several months have passed. Sri Ramakrishna was advancing in spiritual life day by day. Not like us, after every few years, like that snail which has fallen into the deep well, dry well, and it wants to come up to the surface, and it in a day practically it climbs about 1 inch, and next second it falls again. So the question is, how long is it going to take for that snail to reach the surface? Anyway, it is not that bad. We are progressing. We will progress slowly, slowly. But if we can put conscious effort, it is much better. So Sri Ramakrishna was narrating, one day I went out to pluck flowers as usual. And then suddenly the Divine Mother revealed her what is called Vaishvanara form. She revealed to him that everything in this universe, the air is blowing, the sun and moon are shining, all the flowering trees are blooming, all the fruits trees are trying their level best to yield as many fruits as possible, whether it is leaves, roots, bark, fruits, whether the rivers are flowing with full of gurgling sound, beautiful with sweet water, the earth, Sasya Shalini, full of greenery, that means all the Panchabhutas are offering their worship through their respective duties. Sri Ramakrishna said, you know, there is a rule. When we do puja, we should not offer what is called Uchishta, something offered to somebody already. If, for example, you have prepared food and your child has eaten, of course children do not know, and then you have noticed it. Now, what is the dilemma? That can I offer this food to the divine? Because already the child has eaten. You can't beat the child because it is innocent. It doesn't know what is what. What should you do? And to cook a second time might take a long time. But if you are a devotee, you will do what Holy Mother had done. One day, when she sat down for doing puja, and Mako's son, I think, crawled into the room, saw the sweets, etc., and straight started crawling. Holy Mother said, "My son, you wait a little, let me finish." But how can the child understand what is called waiting? So the Holy Mother changed her tactic, said, "Oh Gopala, you eat as much as you want." Now who was eating? It is the Gopala. Sri Ramakrishna saw all the whole nature is offering its own worship to itself. In other words, God in the form of the nature is offering worship to himself. That is the final realization, and that is what we are supposed to remember whenever we sit down for eating something and we go on saying Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agnav, Brahmana Ahutam, Brahma Eva Tena Gantavyaha, Brahma Karma Samadhina. This is called attainment of Samadhi through Brahma Karma. That is, the offerer, the offered, and the instruments of offering, and the fire into which it is offered, everything is nothing but pure Brahman. So that is what Sri Ramakrishna's experience, and he said, I could not pluck. From that day, my external worship had dropped, which should remind all our devotees the story of Guru Nanak. It is said one day, Guru Nanak at sunset wanted to attend the Aratrikam in a temple. Sun, at sunset only, during the dawn, Sandhya Arati is done. What is the Sandhya Arati? But 5 items are offered to the Lord with singing. What are the 5 items? It is light, water, cloth, flower, and chamara, or a fan. What do these represent? Panchabhutas, with which the whole body is made, mind is made, the entire universe is made, our personality is made. When we have that dawn of knowledge that we as separate individuals do not exist, only God exists in the form of the Panchabhutas. So, the Panchabhutas are the deities, powers of God blessing us. Panchabhutas make up our body and mind, and this Panchabhutas, coming out of the Panchabhutas, are worshipping the Panchabhutas, and ultimately those Panchabhutas are nothing but Ishvara. So if I am sleeping, that should be considered as a samadhi. Nidra samadhi sthitihi yadyat karma karomi. Whatever actions are done through this body as well as the mind. Shambho tat tat tava aradhanam. That is nothing but your worship only. That is a fact of which we are not aware. And all the study of this Upanishads, everything is for that purpose only. So this is what we want to know. All the activities of every living creature, human as well as non-human, can be divided into waking, dream, deep sleep, and in between all these states, in between two thoughts, the Turiyam is manifesting all through. And through this analysis, the Upanishad wants to make us aware that Tat Tvam Asi, thou art that. And that understanding, that knowledge will come if we can really analyze these 3 states of Jagrat, Svapna and Sushupti. And that is what has come, what is going to be explained in this 4th chapter. Really speaking, true Vedanta, true Jnana, or that which leads to the Atma Jnana, is being delineated in this 4th, 5th and 6th chapters of the Prashna Upanishad, which is the real purport of every Upanishad. But we have to remember that the ultimate Brahman or Jivatma in its true nature, called Kshetrajna, doesn't experience any of these states, and consequently there is no question of dream perceptions, for that matter even waking perceptions pertaining to it. That is why the Lord says, especially in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. And then he says, as if the entire universe is within me, next very half of the sentence, he says, look at my yoga maya, that they are not in me, I am not in them. That means, even though without me the world cannot exist, but I am not limited by the limitations of these three states called worldly life. But because of prana's association, because without prana, mind cannot function. What are we talking about? These three states are states of the mind, antakarana. And these states of the mind cannot function, cannot be experienced without prana. Prana should be there, associated with the mind. So that prana, who is the root cause of the mind experiencing the waking, the dream, and the deep sleep states, that is going to be analyzed here. And a little, I am only giving a brief introduction summary, and then once we understand, it is much easier. So we all dream. What is the stuff of dream? Where from is it derived? Our dreams are nothing but replay of the vasanas left in the mind by what was seen or heard before in the waking state. Remember, without waking state, there is no waking state experience. Without waking state experience, there is no memory. Because memory means that which has been experienced. You see a tree, and then the memory of that tree inside remains in the chitta. Next time when you see the same tree, you recognize, recognize. First time, cognition. What is this? What is this? It is a tree. Second time, I know what is this because I have experienced it earlier. That is called recognition. And that memory remains in the mind or chitta in the form, and when something is experienced again and again, it forms a deep impression, and that deep impression, you can also call it a habit. For example, if you are born in a particular country, you are accustomed to eat the style of cooking that is prevalent in that particular country. Naturally, you develop a special taste because of the habit, and it becomes a samskara. And in future, whenever there is a choice offered to us in a buffet, dinner, etc., then we run straight that which has given us the greatest pleasure, and usually that will be what we have developed. That is called samskara. And the chitta is full of that samskara, and all the samskaras abide in the karana sharira. How do we say that? Why do I say that? Because karana means cause. So what is it? When I am attending a buffet dinner, and I see something, and immediately my legs run towards it, because the chitta remembers, this is the particular dish I was accustomed to, I love it. For example, Italians love pizza. So different people have different items, no doubt about it, different styles of cooking. Basic materials are exactly the same, potato, tomato, brinjal, everything is absolutely same. It is only the method, the special way of cooking, adding some spices, etc., that makes us slaves, binds us. And that is all because of habit. And that habit is called samskara. That samskaras remain in the karana sharira. That is what causes us to develop likes, dislikes, etc. And automatically we react towards them. And that is what is called bondage. That is called maya. That is called samsara. That is called transmigration. And that says, when we experience something, it is marvelous. I want it again. So that wanting it again is what brings us further births so that we can fulfill our desires. Once we say, it is nice, wonderful, I enjoy it, but I will, that thought, I want it again doesn't arise. If it comes, by God's grace, I will enjoy it. And if it doesn't come, equally I enjoy whatever is there as a prasadam, as a offered, sanctified food to God. It is these samskaras, and these samskaras are stored in the mind. When we are in the dreaming state, the external body doesn't function, but the sukshma sarira, the subtle body, exactly having the what is called saptangaha, ekona vimshati mukhaha, seven limbs, that means all the sense organs and all the 19 internal organs. All of them function and make it possible for us to dream. So, what is the dream stuff made up of? Nothing but the experiences repeated again and again that we experience in the waking state. So, sometimes it so happens. I am talking about what is going to come in this first chapter. Don't think I am telling something different. Some people's experience of dream is, they see something which they have not seen in this life. And then the conclusion is, not that it is something weird, but sometime in the past births, we must have experienced it. What is the logic? Because memory cannot be there without experience. And it is the memory which replaces itself in the dream state. And the example is, suppose there is a video recorder. Whatever is recorded in the video, when you want to replay it, play it, it can only play what is recorded. So if somebody claims, I've seen something extraordinary, unique something in the dreams, which I had never experienced before, it is like in your video recorder, suddenly some Swami is singing or giving a talk, and suddenly a beautiful song comes, muting the Swami's talk. You have to understand that first thing is, when the Swami was talking, you went to sleep because you did not notice it. Otherwise, you would not be surprised. Second thing is, during at some period, a big bhajan party, especially in Varanasi, with the loudest possible amplified noise, goes round and round, and it seems to be specially stuck near our ashrama, and so that will be recorded here. And suddenly the lecture is muted, talk is muted, you hear this one. And then it is later on when you replay and then you start listening carefully, suddenly the talk is muted and you hear the bhajan, and after some time again the talk restarts. You keep wondering, how did this recording come? What is the point? If it was not recorded, it could never have come. So also, if any man has not experienced something, it could be many, many, many lives before, it could never have come in the dream state at all. So nothing that was not seen or heard or experienced at some time or other could leave any impression in the mind. That means we did experience, but we have forgotten about it. These vasanas, habits, are called samskaras, present themselves before the mind in all manner of bizarre combinations. What is the speciality? Speciality is, whatever we experience are stored, experienced in the waking state, are stored in the memory. But the speciality of dream state is, let me give an illustration. Suppose we have seen a birds flying in the air. Then we have seen men walking with two legs. Both impressions, men walking with the legs, birds flying with wings in the air. And in the dream, these two impressions come. What do we do? ওই মিস্টেরিয়াসলি ম্যাজিক্যালি ক্লিপ দি উইংস অফ দি বার্ডস অ্যাটাচ হিম টু দিস হিউম্যান বিয়িংস আর মাই সেলফ ওয়ান সেলফ অ্যান্ড উই হ্যাভ দি ম্যাজিক্যাল এবিলিটি টু ফ্লাই সডেনলি অ্যাকর্ডিং টু আওয়ার উইল ইন দি এয়ার সো হাউ ডিড ইট হ্যাপেন নো নো ম্যান রিয়েলি ফ্লাইস লাইক দ্যাট অফ কোর্স নাওডেস দের আর সাম মেশিনস উইথ উইচ looks like it exactly like two wings of a bird and that motor is there, jet propulsion is there. I'm not talking about that. That any type of combination is possible in the dreams. So, what is the point? Whatever we see has been seen at some point or the other. There is no difference at all. That is the dream. Then suddenly, while dreaming, we don't know when, suddenly time stops, space stops, we are not aware, we enter into that sleep, what is called deep sleep state, and an indescribable bliss is experienced then, because such a kind of bliss is not experienceable either in the waking state or in the dream state. Every type of happiness we experience in the dream, waking and dream states are lost only for a few seconds. Later on it is the memory. But in deep sleep state, whole night perhaps you have taken some sleeping tablet and you are in deep sleep and you don't know how the whole night has passed. That not being aware of time and space, and that is called indescribable bliss. But where from is it coming? This is the true nature of the Atman. When the Atman, which gets rid of all its adjuncts, and what are the adjuncts? The waking, the dream, and the dreamless. It is pure bliss. But in the deep sleep state, the adjuncts have become, the waking, dream have become absent. And therefore there is some sort of bliss is reflected in that state, and that is called avidya state, but it gives a glimpse of what my real nature is. I don't require any object, objectless, inexpressible bliss, and that is what is there. So all the gross elements then go back to their subtle condition, causal condition, and remain as mere potencies. So, the mind, buddhi, chitta, and ahankara, everything is merged. Where? In that state of the deep sleep. An example is given. Just as the several images of the sun reflected in various pools of water go back to their source when the water dries up. Imagine, the beautiful sun is shining whole day. Imagine there are 10 or 20 small pools are there. And in each one of those pools, one reflection of the sun is seen. What happens when these pools are completely dried up? Along with the dried up pools, water, the ability to reflect the sun disappears. And only pure sun remains, and this is the example given. So, what is the example for? Like, waking state is a pool, dream state is a pool. Since we are talking about dreamless state, in the dreamless state, these two pools are not there. So, it is as if that a reflection of the bliss, that's why it is called ananda maya kosha. Kosha means limited. Limited by the deep sleep experience. But it gives a glimpse because our jivatma is nearest to its real nature. It is furthest in the waking state, a little bit nearer in the dream state, and for very near in this deep sleep state, because the duality, that is, experiencer, experienced object, duality, completely disappears And that's why so much of bliss. That's why we say, when a person is in deep sleep, don't go and shout and wake him up. That is a great papa. Because we are really waking up from that great bliss, which is not easily available. So this example is given. We can take another example. Suppose there are 10 mirrors in your room, and you are standing in front of them, and each one of them is reflecting your different parts of the body, and suddenly all of them, glasses are broken, mirrors are broken, then you remain, but all the reflections go. What is this example? Waking is a reflected glory of the Paramatma. Dream state is a reflected glory of Paramatma. Deep sleep even is another reflected glory of the Paramatma. But as I said, as if first mirror is very dull, second mirror is much clearer, third mirror is absolutely clean and pure, but all these are mirrors, all these are reflections. And when the Jivatma, through the study of these Upanishads, goes beyond, and then experiences unalloyed, unbroken, infinite, eternal bliss. And that is the purpose of this fourth chapter. So the mantra at the end of the fourth section beautifully sums up these ideas. What is the idea? That at the end, all of us reach that same Paramatma. We will discuss about it when the time comes. So this idea is reinforced again by the sixth section, that is last section of this Prashna Upanishad, which we will discuss in our next class. Not the sixth section, but the fourth chapter we will start. What is it? Analysis of the three states. What is the purpose? To say that there is someone who is experiencing all the three, at the same time is not limited by all these three, and that is the Paramatma called Brahman, and the attainment of that Paramatma is the purpose of every scripture, every Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, Prasthanatrayam, and this Prashna Upanishad by proxy. We will enter into the first mantra, etc., tomorrow. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.